And time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show. This week, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by teacher and photographer Pauline Teichman and San Francisco Chronicle music critic and board game reviewer for the Pink Pages, Joshua Cosman. And here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely holiday weekend and can join us over the course of the next hour for our show, which, after all, is nothing without you because we are an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we encourage your participation. And we hope you will give us a call with a question or answer. Can't provide the answers quite yet because we haven't asked any questions. But if you have a question for us, you can certainly call right away and do that. The number here is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is 415-841-4134. And we also have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. Let's see. Also want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MindsOverMatter, all strung together at yahoo.com. We don't read the emails during the show, but we do read the emails, so feel free to email us any old time with a comment or a question. And also, if you'd like to hear the show online, you can do that anywhere in the world, simply through the use of a computer, tablet, smartphone, at kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like to download the podcast of this show afterwards, you can certainly do that at kalw.org. So, all that being said, we'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and something with a French name, probably. So, since Pauline's here. Oh, no? Okay.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. And, but with a little encouragement, she will speak French for us. And anyway, so just again, that number, 415-841-4134, or toll-free 866-798-8255. We're going to start with the round of introductions. Here's the first. The aforementioned Pauline Teichman is going to try to let her little light shine on this, the first night of Hanukkah. Save your oil. You've got seven more days.
I know. Well, Joshua Cosman was only supposed to be on Minds Over Matter tonight, but thanks to the miracle of Hanukkah, he's going to be here every night this week.
And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, realizes that this is the first day of Hanukkah, but he prefers to celebrate the opening of the Washington Monument on this day in 1884.
Ah, that's right. So, that being said, we'll begin with Pauline Teichman.
Okay, well, in keeping with the Hanukkah theme, I'm going to ask a Hanukkah question. So there are two Hanukkah songs written by the same artist. They're modern-day takes on the Hanukkah theme, Happy Hanukkah and Miracle. Name the artist who whose music they are, and if possible, give the meaning of his name.
Are these what you would call popular songs?
Yes.
I'm not familiar with him, but let's focus on an artist who's got a name that has a meaning.
Irving Berlin.
Yes. No.
Good Jew, who is much better at writing Christmas songs.
when you say his name has a meaning, what do you mean? I'm not sure I understand.
Because it's the name he's known by. It's not his actual birth name, but it has a meaning.
Meaning in terms of Hanukkah or
not necessarily
Jewish religion?
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not up on my Jewish pop.
Shalom Aleichem.
No.
Much more contemporary.
The only Jewish music person I know, and I don't know anything about him, is Matis Yahu.
And that's it?
Oh, it is.
Oh,
okay.
Very
so
good.
Right.
Oh, I didn't put that.
Matis Yahu.
What is his name?
Mean?
Matthew?
No. That was his original name, was Matthew. But yeah. Matis Yahu
Matthew is God.
Good job.
It means gift of God.
Gift of God. All right. Okay.
I think you get that.
Give me a bell. So he's doing Hanukkah songs. I didn't realize.
Yeah. Oh, they're really good.
Okay. All right.
Really fun to listen to.
Good to know. Thanks.
All right. And Josh, it's your turn.
Oh no.
All right.
I can ask another music Hanukkah song.
All right. Go ahead.
This is many parts, but name the Jews listed in Adam Sandler's version 4 of Hanukkah. I just thought that would be a fun one.
That's a good one. I haven't listened to that song in a long time, and even then it was only with half an ear.
It's not my favorite song. I much prefer
Moshe. Harrison Ford was one, because they said he was half Jewish.
He might be on one of the... I don't think he's on this. Let me take a look. Is he on this one?
Does he mention...
I should underline them.
Does he mention Rod Carew?
No, not on this one.
All right.
Sandy Koufax?
good Jewish boy, but no.
No. All right.
Don't know.
All right. Ask the question once more.
So list the Jews mentioned or alluded to in Adam Sandler's Hanukkah 4 song.
All right. How many are there?
This is the fourth one. This is the newest one.
No, I don't mean how many songs. How many Jews?
How many names? Oh, gosh. Something like 25, I think.
Oh, all right. So this is a wide open.
It's a wide open. I just thought it would be fun.
Got it. I only know about the first one, so yeah. All right. And Josh, you go ahead.
All right. Let's see. Well, I like to throw out the list questions early in the evening. I just have a list of. Jerry was complaining that we had too many Oscar questions.
Well, he's not here.
He's not here, so I'm going to pull this out. I've just got some Oscar-winning characters, some roles, Oscar-winning roles from the year 2000.
Okay.
Basically, these are best supporting, best actor, best actress, supporting actress. So how many can you name? I've got 7.
Okay.
All right, Edwin Hoover, and just to clarify, I want the actor or actress and the movie. Edwin Hoover, Effie White, Ron Woodruff, Alice Howland.
Oh, okay.
Alonzo Harris, Terrence Fletcher, and Patsy.
Okay.
One more time. Here are the Oscar-winning roles. This is since the year 2000. Edwin Hoover, Effie White, Ron Woodruff, Alice Howland, Alonzo Harris, Terrence Fletcher, and Patsy.
Okay. I hope I'm going to get her name right and not totally blow it. Alice Howland, would that be Julianne Moore, I think? And the Moore is something Alice. Missing Alice?
Still Alice.
Still Alice. Alice.
It's exactly right.
All right. There you go.
Good.
Great movie.
Yeah. Dana? None?
Not right offhand.
Oh, okay.
Patsy.
All right.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Here from Union City.
Hello.
I gave some names that mentioned in Hanukkah song.
Okay.
Goldie Hawn.
She might be in the first version. She's not in number 4.
Yeah. What, the Three Stooges?
Either. No. Okay, I don't know how much carryover.
In the first version, though.
Yeah, okay. I think he's right about
that. And by the way, the Howard brothers, though, was father was a rabbi.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Mo Shimp and Curly's father was a rabbi.
Right.
Very devout.
Horowitz, that's her name.
Got a couple questions.
Uh-huh.
Frank Lesser composed only one television theme. Mm. What was it?
Oh, Frank Lesser. That's an interesting question. Frank Lesser composed one television theme.
Actually, was co-composer.
Was this a long-running show?
Yes, it was.
A long-running show.
It was a musical series.
It was what?
It was a musical series.
A musical series. You mean a variety show?
No, it was a musical series, for the most part.
Your Hit Parade?
Nope.
When did the show start?
Well, it started in 1955. It was canceled during the rural purge of 1971, but it ran in syndication for another 11 years.
55 to 71?
Yeah.
That's a long time. Lawrence Welk?
Yes. Bubbles in the Wine.
He did that?
Wow.
Huh. Interesting.
Here's my second question. You know where this Sinatra's Grammy Sinatra concert coming up tonight?
All right.
Film composer Jerry Goldsmith, who scored 3 films with Sinatra, always wore a red sweater and was about to conduct the recording session. What color sweater did Sinatra always wear?
Blue.
No.
I'm gonna say
to
black.
Bring out his eyes.
No.
How about red?
No.
Green.
I don't know any other colors.
Come on, I can't think of any others.
Well, there are lots of other colors, but
give you a clue. It's a color of a fruit.
How about orange?
Yes, give yourself a bell.
I can't. Dana gets mad if I touch the bells.
No. All right, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll just add that, you know, Frank Lesser, the composer that he mentioned, had a brother, Arthur Lesser, who was the grandfather of a good friend of mine and always used to refer to Frank as the evil of two Lessers.
The Lesser.
I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty good. What did his brother do?
He was a pianist and I think a composer, but not a serious one, but mostly a concert pianist.
Oh, all right.
Okay. So really the Lesser.
Yeah.
All right, let's see here. The most common month for birthdays in the United States, or for births, I should say, the most common month for births in the U.S. is September. What are the 3 days of the year when the fewest babies are born? What are the 3 days of the year when the fewest babies are born in the U.S.?
I'm surprised that it's that.
Oh, they
marked.
Have it down to it.
Oh, I know that. I'm just surprised that it's not sort of pretty uniform.
Well, there's one that would only happen every 4 years, so February 29th.
That's right. February 29th is one. Okay.
Let's see. What about April 15th plus 9 months would be? I don't know. I'm trying to think. You know, I assume September is New Year's Eve babies, right? I mean, that's.
Roughly. Yeah.
So. I don't know, January 15th would be...
No. Right. So what are the 3 least common birthdays for children in the United States? February 29th, actually, Pauline got that. That's one. What are the other 2? And let's see here. What very famous author was the first to mention baseball in a literary form?
Ooh.
In a novel. What very famous author was the first to mention baseball in a literary form in a novel?
It was a novel.
It was in the first page of the novel, as a matter of fact.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Can we get some sense of time?
What about Melville?
No, interesting guess, but no.
Too soon? Too early?
Too late.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
This was the early.
So what very famous author was the first to mention baseball in a literary form in a novel? And again, what are the least common birthdays or least common birthdays of the year? So far we have February 29th. What are the other 2? And okay. The number to join is the area code 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134. We're toll-free, 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Colette from Bernal Heights.
Hi, Colette.
And my question is, which president had electricity installed for the first time in the White House, but he and his wife would not touch the lights?
They were afraid to use it. I seem to remember reading about this.
Yeah.
Was it Benjamin Harrison?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow. 1891.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Colette.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Nancy from Berkeley.
Hi, Nancy.
I probably have the wrong song time also, because I was going to say Goldie Hawn, and the other person was Paul Newman.
Those are all good, and I'm sure that they're included in 1, 2, or 3. Unfortunately, I only have the names of 4 in front of me.
Oh, because I heard the song sung yesterday on the radio. I forget what program it was, and they mentioned Goldie Hawn and Paul Newman, so that's what I thought.
Yeah, which are good ones.
But not it. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
And Pauline, it's your turn.
Okay, what do these people have in common? Jerry Garcia... Danny Thomas, Daryl Hannah, Rahm Emanuel, Boris Yeltsin, Buster Keaton.
Oh. One more time. Jerry Garcia.
Jerry Garcia, Danny Thomas, Daryl Hannah, Rahm Emanuel, Boris Yeltsin, and Buster Keaton.
Well, can you frame that in any way? I mean, that's
well.
No, it's something they have in common that
Jerry Garcia and Rahm Emanuel are missing fingers.
And that's it.
Is that right? I had no idea about the other four, but I.
There you go.
All
see?
Right.
See, even without more
information, Daryl Hannah,
you got
huh?
It.
Okay.
Yes. Finger or parts of a
yeah,
finger.
Interesting.
Okay. So I'm going to ask another one. Name this character known by a wide variety of names in different cultures, including Yeshen, Vasilisa, Adelita, and Setare. So very well-known character.
You mean this?
A fictional character?
Is this a folk, mm-hmm. folk character?
Could say. Fictional character has different names in different cultures, including Yeshen, Vasilisa, Adelita, and Setare. And I can say what countries. So Yeshen
right. yeah.
in China, Vasilisa in Russia, Adelita in Mexico, and Setare in Persia or Iran. I guess Persian.
Is this a religiously affiliated thing?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
It's not Christmas related at all.
Not at all.
There goes Krampus.
Yeah.
All right, let me think about it.
All right.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134, or toll free 866-798-8255. You're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is teacher and photographer Pauline Teichman from the San Francisco Chronicle, their classical music critic Joshua Cosman. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, yeah, this is Tamara calling from El Cerrito. This is going back to the very first question of the night about Oscars or Academy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Did you answer all of those?
No, we only got one so far. So
Okay, so Patsy was played by Lupita Nyong'o in 12 Years a Slave.
Exactly right. Well done.
Yeah, and Effie White was Jennifer Hudson in Dreamgirls.
Exactly.
Good job.
Good.
Okay. Yay. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Josh, you go ahead.
All right, I've got a. This is a Dana special, but I don't mean. Which I didn't mean
no,
that
no,
you shouldn't
fine.
Chime in. I just mean like it's going to be easy for him, but he's here. So, in American history, there have been five times when two consecutive elections were contested by the same two top vote getters. I'm not sure. I mean, it becomes very clear in the 20th century when you have a Democrat and a Republican. But for earlier years, I went and looked at just sort of the two top electoral vote getters, and there have been five times when the two top electoral vote getters in two consecutive elections were the same men. So, can you name the pairs of candidates?
But wait a minute. Go over the whole thing once.
All right. You get two elections in a row where the two top electoral vote getters are the same guys.
Okay.
That's happened five times. I'm not asking you for the years because that would be boring, but I'm asking for the pairs.
William McKinley and William Jennings Bryan.
There you go. That's one.
All right.
William McKinley, and I didn't want to give you the easy one. William McKinley, yeah, beats William Jennings Bryan in 1896 and again in 1900. That's one of the five times that's happened. But not necessarily that the same person won each time.
Well, Grover Cleveland, Benjamin Harrison.
Yeah, that's another one.
And actually that happened twice, Grover Cleveland, Benjamin Harrison.
I've got 88 and 92.
Yeah, right, so that's twice. That's what
yeah, well, that's
right.
what I...
Okay. That's the question.
Otherwise it would just be once, and right, it would be yeah. every election.
Oh, I see, right. Sorry.
We're looking for pairs of consecutive yeah. elections that were... That were contested between the same two candidates.
All right.
Listen to him sigh as though I've given him an onerous burden.
No, I'm just thinking.
What do you like better in life than thinking about presidential elections, Dana?
Oh, lots of things, believe it or not. Chocolate chip cookies, for one. But let's see.
All right, so we're looking...
All right, yeah.
We're looking for two consecutive elections in which the two top vote-getters, electoral vote-getters, were the same people. Once was in 1888 when Benjamin Harrison beat Cleveland, and then in 1892 Cleveland beat Harrison. And again in 1896 and 1900, William McKinley beat William Jennings Bryan both times. There are three other times when that has happened in American history. Looking for those three occasions.
Huh. But nothing in the 20th century besides the one. Most of them are in the 19th century.
Most of them are in the 19th century.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Good.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is it me? Oh, okay. I thought it was further down. But anyway, okay, for the first literary mention of baseball, would that be Mark Twain?
It would not be Mark Twain.
Ooh, good guess.
Oh, okay. Okay, for the top vote-getter, or for the whatever, you know, that question, Eisenhower and Adlai Stevenson.
Oh,
exactly.
Very
right.
Very good.
Well done.
Good job.
And then the second one, it's Truman, and I know the first guy, name of the guy is Thomas.
Oh, Dewey, you thinking? Yeah, but it was only Truman and Dewey once.
Truman only beat Dewey the one time in 48.
Okay. So I've got a couple of questions for you guys.
Okay.
In 1951, Sugar Ray Robinson was scheduled to fight Jimmy Doyle, but several days before the fight, he tried to back out of it. Why did he try to back out of it?
This
is not my.
This is
not my area of expertise, I'm afraid.
If only Jerry were here.
Yeah.
He tried to back out of the fight.
Eddie, can you give us a hint at all?
Yeah, but he was afraid that he would hurt him. But how did he come to that conclusion?
Was Jimmy Doyle? Did he have an injury that preceded the fight that would have been vulnerable to?
No. I'll just tell you.
Okay.
He had a dream that he killed Jimmy Doyle in the ring.
Wow.
And so he tried to back out of it, and the boxing promoter brought in a priest and a minister to convince him that it was just a dream. So he went through with a fight, but unfortunately he ended up killing him. He knocked him out.
So it really was a premonitory dream.
Yeah, he never regained consciousness.
Interesting.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's cool, actually.
Huh.
And one other trivia question that might be difficult as well, but when Marlon Brando, when he was first offered the role on The Waterfront, he declined it because he didn't want to work with Kazan, because Kazan had just named names. Mm-hmm. And so the studio offered the role to another actor who was famous at that time. He'd actually won the Academy Award the year before for Best Supporting Actor.
Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think I heard that.
They were going to offer Terry Molloy to Frank Sinatra?
They did offer.
I can see that. I mean, I can kind of see that.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe.
Just kind of.
And then one quick anecdote about that movie, in case you haven't heard this. But in that famous scene, you know, where I Could Have Been a Contender, they only had one camera, so they had to do the scene twice, one for Brando's close-up and then one for Rod Steiger's close-up. And after they did Brando's close-up, they took a quick break, and then they came back, and Steiger said, "Where's Marlon?" And they said, "Oh, you know, he had to go to his psychiatrist appointment." So instead, Steiger had to do, he had to react to an 18-year-old script girl reading Brando's lines off camera.
I saw an interview with Steiger where he was still upset about that.
he said in 1995, I think, he said, 6 months ago, I finally forgave him for that.
That's a great story. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
All right. Let's see here. I forgot to mention that you are listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. Okay. In a survey done by the Atlantic magazine, what are the five famous novels that most people are least likely to finish?
About War and Peace.
No.
How about Ulysses?
Yes, that is
really
one. Yes. Okay, you each had your guess for now. Yes. So, in a survey done by the Atlantic magazine, what are the five famous novels that most people are least likely to finish? Yes, James Joyce's Ulysses is one. So, I should point out that all the others are written in English. So,
written in English.
All the others?
Four others, I should say.
How about Moby Dick?
Yes, you already had your guess.
No, I didn't. Not yet.
Yes, Moby Dick.
Moby Dick and Ulysses. All right.
All right. That's it.
Thank you.
And, okay, so three left on that list. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller?
Good.
Yes, you're on. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
No, don't turn it off. Hello?
Hello, you're on, yes.
Oh, hi. I'm on what?
Yes, you're on the air now.
Okay, hi. So I wanted to answer the question about the baseball.
Yes.
Is it James Fenimore Cooper?
It is not James Fenimore Cooper. That's a good guess.
Good guess.
Yeah, because he's from the town.
Sure.
Is it Nathaniel Hawthorne?
It is not.
Well, I don't have that then. And then can I answer the question about when you asked about Terry Fletcher?
Yes.
Okay, it's J.R. Simmons.
Yes.
From Whiplash.
From Whiplash. J.K. Simmons, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
I just thought last night. As
oh,
that. Great. Okay, that's it.
Great, thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. If you'd like to give us a call, the number is area code 415-841-4134. With a question or answer, also, you can also call toll-free 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And Pauline, it's your turn.
Okay. What food traces its name from the Arabic word for finger?
From the Arabic word for finger?
I know.
Yeah, I don't know what that word is.
Is the food shaped like a finger?
I'm not going to answer that.
Why?
Because you always ask enough questions to get an answer.
It's a carrot, isn't it?
No.
Huh.
Why would they call it after the Arabic word for a finger if it wasn't shaped kind of like a finger?
Exactly.
It reminded you of
no,
a
no, exactly, exactly.
So then you've already got your
yeah,
answer.
Yeah, I don't know the answer though. Is it a prepared food like a tiramisu or a steak tartare as opposed to something that occurs naturally in nature like a radish?
Naturally.
Oh. Well, that puts a different spin on
right.
things.
Mm.
Is it a rutabaga?
No.
Okay.
All right. Take it over. Okay.
But that could lead to another question I have.
And let's go do a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good.
Very good. Well, she beat me with that, but I'll find the answer quickly. In short time, I may call you about that. I really forgot, but I know what it is. Okay, so a couple of weeks ago, I asked about the element name after women,
mm-hmm.
and nobody came with the answer at all, which is disgusting, beside curium. So the second element is maternity name, named after Mary. Excuse me.
Lisa. Meisner.
Okay, so you got...
I wasn't here. I would have answered that.
You would have answered it. Very good. Yeah, she was really, really, really badly treated. She was Jewish, German. And example how great Jewish people were so badly treated by the stupid, ugly Nazi. Anyway, that is the way it was. The third element is from the Green Goddess... Nubia, which is Nobium, number 41.
Oh.
Yeah, so we have those. So tell me, how many elements named after American cities and one after American state? Can you tell me what are they?
Berkelium.
Isn't there a Philadelphia or something?
No.
California.
Californium is named after the state.
Right. That's it, that's good.
And Berkelium is one, and...
What is the second one?
After an American city.
American city. And in our backyard.
That's where
yes.
Stanford.
This came up last week. There's Livermore. Yeah.
There's Livermorium. That's what it is.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say Laurentium, but that's...
Somebody else asked this question a couple weeks ago.
It's still a good question. Yeah. All chemical element questions are good ones.
Yeah. Okay. The reason there were four elements named after a small little town in Scandinavia is because they had a mine there. Mm. They do not have all those elements.
Right.
Okay, my second question...
Wait, aren't you going to ask for the...
No, we
did that. Oh,
we did
that one
already.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, we did that already.
Okay.
Okay, my second question. All of us are extremely upset that you have few tens of thousands of really criminal, barbarian, stupid, ugly people, bloody, and all of that. the new Islamic state was saying, causing all of this damage all over our life. I mean, it affects our life.
All right.
Was this thing in Los Angeles area? What do the Middle Eastern people? Well, good. I'm very happy that Obama called them ISIL, not ISIS, because ISIS was a great ancient Egyptian queen of peace and love and motherhood and everything else. He called them ISIL. But what do people in the Middle East call them?
They call who?
Daesh.
Daesh. Right. Very good. Do you know what it means?
No.
A very quick description. Scummy, bloody, barbarian animals. That's really what it means. So this, please, everybody, call them that.
All
never
right.
anybody call them ISIS or ISIL or anything like that.
All right, thank
they
you.
They are just crazy minutes. Thank
okay.
you. Bye-bye.
And we have a couple of lines open. If you'd like to give us a call, area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer, 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. All right, let me do a question, then we'll repeat anything that hasn't been answered yet. Okay. What are the five most common adjectives according to the Oxford English Dictionary? What are the five most commonly used adjectives according to the Oxford English Dictionary?
About wonderful.
No. I'll give you each a couple of guesses.
Well, the one that's most used by my students, even though I don't want them to use it, is nice.
No. What are the five most commonly used adjectives according to the Oxford English Dictionary?
Commonly used, just not necessarily in writing, just commonly used, period.
In writing and speech.
In speech, mm-hmm.
Don't know. Old?
No.
Don't know.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet, Pauline.
Okay, so I have what food traces its name from the Arabic word for finger? And I also have name this character known by a variety of names in different cultures, including Yeshen in China, Vasilisa in Russia, Adelita in Mexico, and Cetera in Persia. And I think those are the only ones. And I still have all the Jews mentioned in the Hanukkah 4 song by Adam Sandler. And there's a bunch of them, so.
Yeah, but nobody knows the Hanukkah 4 song. They only know the Hanukkah 1 song.
It's what's been playing lately.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Josh.
I'm looking for the two consecutive elections, American presidential elections, in which the same two top candidates were the top electoral vote getters, McKinley and William Jennings Bryan, Eisenhower and Stevenson, Benjamin Harrison and Cleveland. There were two more in the 19th century we haven't gotten to. Both of them, I'll tell you, were split decisions. One guy wins one, and the next 4 years later, the other guy wins. And also looking for the actor or actress and the title of the movie for these Oscar-winning roles that have all been done since 2000. Edwin Hoover, Ron Woodruff, and Alonzo Harris are the ones that are still left on the list.
Okay. What very famous author was the first who mentioned baseball in a literary form? It was in a novel. And let's see. In a survey done by The Atlantic magazine, what are the five famous novels that most people are least likely to finish? So far we have James Joyce's Ulysses and Moby Dick. The most common month of the year for births is September. What I'm looking for the 3 days that have the fewest births during the year. The 3 days that have the fewest births during the year. So far we have February 29th. That's obviously a leap year or a leap day, so that's one of them. And what are the five most common adjectives according to the Oxford English Dictionary? Five most common adjectives according to the Oxford English Dictionary. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Oh, hi, this is Linda Nelsarito.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. I'll take a crack at a couple of your questions first. Mm-hmm. On the baseball thing, how about Cooper?
No. You mean James Fenimore Cooper?
That one.
Yeah, no.
Okay. For adjectives, how about good?
Yes.
All right. That's good.
Yes.
All right. And on the novels, how about Sound of the Fury?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I would like to pay tribute to Frank Sinatra, whose 100th birthday is this Saturday. So I have a couple of little questions on that. First, can you tell me what his first hit record was? And the date, if you know.
You mean as a solo artist?
Yes.
Not with the Tommy Dorsey Band or anything like that?
I'm not sure what band it was with.
Okay.
Oh, no, it was Harry James, actually.
Harry James? Oh, it was that goes back that far?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. A couple early ones. Dolores or All or Nothing at All?
All or Nothing at All.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. That was in 1939.
Okay.
Okay. And then, going to the other end of his career, can you tell me what the last song that he performed was in public?
Oh, no. No.
How could it not be My Way?
It wasn't.
Right.
And he didn't like that song.
Well, that makes two of us.
I agree. I totally agree.
Probably a standard, though, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, I'd say so.
Okay. Not New York, New York, I hope.
No, it's not New York, New York.
No, I'm afraid we don't know.
Okay. It's The Best Is Yet to Come.
Oh, all right.
And that was performed in 1995 at a golf tournament. And interestingly enough, it is also his epitaph.
Oh, wow. All right.
So one final question. What was the actual name that was recorded on his birth certificate when he was born?
Francis
Albert Sinatra. But that's the only name I know him as.
It was a little bit different.
Okay. No, we don't know.
Don't know? It was Francis Albert Sinestro.
Oh,
Sinestro.
Oh.
And it wasn't corrected until years later.
Hmm. Oh.
Kind of a sinister beginning, wouldn't you say?
Right.
Yes.
Anyway, he overcame it.
Yes, he did.
So that's it.
Thank you, Linda.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. Give us a call if you like. 415-841-4134 with a question or answer, or toll-free 866-798-8255. Pauline, I think it's your turn.
Okay, so I have three quotes that are very similar, but they're by different people. So I'd like you to tell me who said each of the three and also what order they came in. So one is, the fundamental cause of trouble is that in the modern world, the stupid are cocksure while the intelligent are full of doubt. Another one is, the best lack all conviction while the worst are full of passionate intensity. And the third one is, the problem with the world is that the intelligent people are full of doubts while the stupid ones are full of confidence.
Hmm. That's awfully cynical.
The only one I know is the second one, which is Yeats from The Second Coming.
Exactly.
Good job.
Good job.
But the other two, I don't recognize.
Are the other two poets?
And that actually is the first one.
Oh, okay. So everybody else is riffing on Yeats.
Yes, basically.
Okay. Are the other two literary figures?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And let's go to a call.
At least. Yeah, take
it. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Tom in Oakland.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. I've got a couple of guesses and a couple of questions, I guess.
Okay.
So, famous novels, Finnegan's Wake.
Not Finnegan's Wake. I guess
nobody even starts that one.
If they can't get through Ulysses, they're probably not going to start Finnegan's Wake.
Right. And about Gravity's Rainbow.
No, ooh, that's a good guess. A very good guess, but no.
Shoot. And then the first author to mention baseball would be, how about Louisa May Alcott?
No, but I like that. But no, it's not her.
Shoot. Fewest births, how about Valentine's Day?
Nope.
Nope. Okay, well, I'm full for four. And I got a couple of questions since the Oscars are coming up in a while. Who's the only Oscars who have won an Oscar?
Oscar Hammerstein.
Yeah, that's too easy. And then there have been three pairs who have been nominated for Best Director Oscars.
Three pairs.
Right.
Huh. The Coen brothers. No? Maybe not, actually.
Yeah.
No, the Coen brothers, yes.
All right.
Weren't Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, like, together for...
No, I don't think they directed.
They didn't direct.
What? He wrote the screen.
No, that was Gus Van Sant, right? But, yeah.
And how about Robert Wise and Jerome Robbins?
Yes.
That's two, yep.
And how long ago was the third one?
I was in the 70s.
Ooh, that's kind of a black hole for me. let's see. The 70s.
And the movie was a remake, if that will be a little hint.
Oh, a remake.
And they won. They were nominated, but they didn't necessarily win.
Oh, all right. Okay.
That's true.
Yeah. Remake in the 70s. No, we don't know.
That was For Heaven Can Wait. Warren Beatty and Buck Henry.
Oh, they co-directed that?
Oh, I didn't know they co-directed that. Okay.
Yeah, they were given a co-directing credit by the, some odd procedure that they have to go through the Director's Guild to be able to get that.
All right,
as a duo credit.
Yep. Good question. Thank you very much.
Thanks a bunch.
All right.
Bye.
And Josh, it's your turn.
Okay. What's the only country in the world that borders two countries with square flags?
We're really getting down in the weeds now with these questions.
No, this is good.
Okay, once more.
What is the only country in the world that borders two countries with square flags?
Square flag.
Yeah.
Not your usual rectangle.
Exactly so.
Okay. Can you, if you say what continent it's on, does that give it away?
I don't know. It's Europe.
Oh, okay. Square flags. Not an ensign. I mean, they're regular national flags.
Yeah, they're
flags.
Regular national flags.
Square flags.
I thought this was the... I'll give you another hint. They're the only two countries in the world that have square flags.
Yeah, well...
And they're, you know, there's one country in between. So, it's a way of getting at that, but I thought you knew that. I didn't know it, but I thought this was the kind of thing that you had in your back pocket.
Give the question once more.
What's the only country in the world... that borders two countries with square flags. They are, in fact, the only two countries that have square flags.
All right, I'll mull this over.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Mark in the Mission.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, okay, for Edwin Hoover, I think that might be Alan Arkin in Little Miss Sunshine.
You are correct. Well done.
Good job on that.
Excellent. That's great. And most commonly used adjectives, did anybody guess great? What great?
Not great, no.
Okay. That's it. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you. We have good already, and everybody knows good is the enemy of great. So, and next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Dave in San Francisco.
Hi, Dave.
I have a couple of guesses on the presidential elections.
Mm.
Was one John Adams and Thomas Jefferson?
No.
Was one John Quincy Adams and Andrew Jackson?
Yes, that was the first one, 1824 and 1828.
And is bad one of the common adjectives?
It is not.
Huh.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
So how many of those do you have left now?
The presidential elections?
Yeah.
Just one.
One.
Just one. John Quincy Adams beats Jackson, and then Jackson comes back and beats John Quincy Adams.
Right.
And later on, we got the Benjamin Harrison in Cleveland. We got McKinley and Bryan. We got Eisenhower and Stevenson.
Right.
Looking for one more, a split decision in the early 19th century.
The early 19th century.
First half.
Right. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is Joe from San Francisco.
Hi.
Hey, how are you? I got a few guesses here. So we went with good and great and bad. How about first for one of the...
yes, very good. You got
it. All right. I get a bell. Thanks. For the Adam Sandler song, I'm a big fan, so I'm going to go with... I got a couple of them, maybe. I got,
good.
Leonard Nimoy recently passed away, and the Three Stooges. How's that?
Unfortunately, neither of those two.
Oh, man, jeez.
You have to remember there are four versions of this, though.
So. Oh, yeah.
This is the latest one, and one of the names is perhaps a more controversial name in terms of not necessarily wanting him to be associated with.
Okay. Well, I'll listen to it. Thanks for making me feel better on that one now. I've got a question for you and then one more guess. This is this might be really easy for you guys, but what was Sylvester the Cat, our famous cartoon cat, what was his full name? very rarely referred to, but he did have a full name, so that's the cat.
This is one Jerry would know, sure.
No, I don't think so. This is cartoons, and he does comic strips. Sylvester.
Sylvester.
So they barely used it. Is that what you're saying?
It was known. He certainly had a full name. The writers gave him one, but
I'd go with Stallone.
No, we don't know.
That would be Sylvester J. Pussycat.
Great.
And one more guess on the books.
Yes.
How about Moby Dick? I never finished it.
Pauline guessed that, and that's correct. Moby Dick. I'll give you a bell for that.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Right. Appreciate it.
Pauline, the Jew that you're referring to as being a Shonda, that would be Bernie Madoff, huh?
Not Bernie Madoff. He must have been in one of the other versions.
Oh, right. Okay.
But that's, it's certainly a Shonda. This is an even worse Shonda, if possible.
Wow.
Think about what could be done that would be worse than,
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it your turn, Josh?
I just gave the flag one.
Oh, that's right. Okay, my turn. All right. If you wrote out all the names of numbers in the correct order, what would be the first one to use the letter B?
B?
Yes. If you were to write out in English...
You mean not first... Okay.
All numbers starting from one, what would be the first one to use the letter B?
Would it be 1 billion?
Yes, 1 billion.
That's... Yeah.
Okay, good job. And... what is the only color of the relatively common colors, and with a single name, not a double name? So, what is the only color name that comes from Sanskrit?
Ooh.
What is the only color name of the common, relatively common colors that comes from the language Sanskrit?
How about indigo?
It's not a bad guess, but no.
Is it one we've already heard tonight?
I'm not sure.
We play your mental transcript.
Yeah. I'm thinking orange.
Wow.
You're right.
Orange?
Orange, yeah. It comes from naranja, which is a fruit.
Spanish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's originally...
The Spanish comes from Sanskrit.
Oh, well, that particular word does.
Anyway. Yeah.
No, yes, orange. Very good.
Here we go.
All right.
I'm on a roll tonight.
You're doing
let's
good.
Let's see. Should I ask anything else here?
Give us another one.
All right.
Or go to a...
Okay, you might get this pretty quickly. I have four and a fifth possibility. The best picture winners that mention place names in the United States. Where are the best picture Academy Award winners that mention place names in the U.S. in the title?
How about Fargo?
So that wasn't the best picture.
Should have been. I like Fargo.
Many people do.
And these are real place names.
You sound like you're feeling sorry for them.
No. I'm feeling beleaguered and in a minority. Mm-hmm. These are, what did you say?
These are the best picture winners that mention place names in the U.S. in the title.
Right. Got it.
Real names.
Yeah.
Real place names.
Yeah.
I have four for sure and one possibility.
Winners.
I confess my ignorance. Is Cimarron a place name?
Yeah, it is indeed.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. Yeah, Cimarron Strip.
All right. Well, that's one.
Good.
And I'll think about the others.
All right. Do that. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
I'm not expecting any bells, but I'll try anyway. Is there a Grand Hotel for a picture?
Yes, but that's in Berlin.
Okay. July 4th for no birth?
No.
Or for births?
Not July 4th. For the least amount of birth, the fewest births that would be.
And the literature?
Yes.
Is Middlemarch on there?
Oh.
No, it is kind of a dull, but no.
I happen to love Middlemarch.
Oh, I've read it twice. I love it. And Fountainhead's not on there, is it?
No, but you want to guess again?
I'm closer.
You're very close.
My former boss used to call me Mrs. Casaubon.
Yeah.
So are they going to follow up with it?
Ask again.
Ask again, yeah.
So it's not Fountainhead.
It's not Fountainhead.
Is it one of her other books?
Yes.
Oh.
So maybe Atlas that'll Shrugged. Help them.
All right.
Atlas Shrugged?
Yes, Atlas Shrugged.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
Sure. And then somebody called it, adjective, beautiful?
No.
Okay. So basically, somebody called in one time and they said, you know, this was a particular song and then it became another song. And so I have an old Irish folk song that became an American folk song.
Mm-hmm.
The Bard of Armagh.
And it became an American folk song.
You want a little bit of the melody?
Yeah.
Oh, list to the strings of a poor Irish harper, and scorn not the strains of his old withered hand.
That's not Streets of Laredo.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's
oh,
what
okay.
it is, exactly.
Very okay,
good.
Give yourself a bell.
All right.
And I'll share my bell with Pauline.
All right.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Thomas.
So these geographical locations, you're looking for movies that actually, where the title actually means that spot.
Yeah, you're
not looking for Lincoln, which also happens to be a capital city.
Yeah, no.
Okay, all right. You're not playing games.
No,
Chris.
I'm not.
All right, good.
I'm not.
Good. Thank you.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Chris calling from New York.
Hi, Chris.
So I have a guess for the country that borders two countries mm-hmm. square flags.
Good.
I think those two countries would be Switzerland and Vatican City, so that would be Italy?
Yes, you are correct on
good
all
job.
Counts. Well done.
I had the Vatican City.
And then I just have a fun little factoid. Came up the color orange comes from Sanskrit. A fun thing for English is that the word didn't exist in English to describe the color before it existed to describe the fruit.
Oh. I read that too. That was interesting to me. Yeah.
Right. So orange used to just be considered part of the color red.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's why we say people have red hair when their hair color is red.
Oh, right. That's interesting. I like that.
Good job. Thank you.
Yep.
And thanks for calling from New York too. And thank you very much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, this is Sabrina in Seattle.
Hi.
I have a couple guesses and a couple questions.
Mm-hmm.
For adjectives, big?
No.
All right. For least common birthday, January 2nd?
You're so close. Take another guess.
Okay, well, I figured everybody wants a January 1st baby.
No, it's January 1st.
Really? It's my mother.
I'm
going
to give that
really?
To you. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. And then for questions, the last year that Mary was in the top five girls' names?
Ooh.
Last year.
Or close.
How about, I'll say, oh, I'm sure I'm way off. How about 1985?
Ooh, you're way off.
Okay. is it too far back?
It's further back than that.
Oh, further back than that. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. How about 1945?
Oh, no. Well, you split the difference. You'd be right.
1965.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
And then the other name question was, what is the only boy's name that was in the top five in 1915 and 2014?
How about David?
No.
Okay.
The only boy.
David's really dropped, unfortunately.
2014 and 1915.
I tried to do 100 exactly, but
right.
I couldn't.
2014.
Is it a biblical name?
No.
Is it John?
No.
That's a biblical name.
Mm-hmm.
Not your part, but it's a bit more.
New Testament. Yeah. Boy's name.
Not a boy's name.
Oh.
Alexander?
How about Zachary?
No, that's biblical.
Alexander?
Nope. It's a good name, though.
Nicholas?
Nope.
Nope, we're just guessing.
Alexander.
You want me to throw it out there, or do
yeah.
you want me to just
no,
tell you?
No, tell us, because we've only got a few minutes left.
All right, William.
William, okay.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah.
That makes sense. All right.
All right. Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
I wouldn't have expected it to still be that popular in 2014.
Right. And
before you go to the next call,
yes.
Chicago was the best picture winner.
All right.
Oh,
you were
good.
Deep in thought. For
I was, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Chicago is one of them. Very good. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We'll take as many calls as we can before the show is over. So next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hi, this is Rick in Mill Valley.
Hi, Rick.
So I listened to the show on the podcast last week because there was a question about the square mile, and somebody said, why is London the square mile? And the answer is because that is the those are the boundaries of the City of London.
The when they say the city, they usually mean the sort of like the financial district, don't they, kind of? Sort of?
Not, well, I mean, part of the financial district is in there, but it's actually the city. It's where St. Paul's is.
Okay.
And the Lord Mayor is the Lord Mayor of the City of London.
All right, very good.
And a lot of the guilds are in there. So here's, I have a couple of questions related, but here's one. What defines a Cockney?
Somebody born within the sound of Bow Bells.
Oh, very good. Very good, very good. Okay, so now you're warming up. So since you know so much about your Anglophiles, I'm going to give you five words, which I've been here 40 years, but sometimes I use a word and people look at me skew with because they don't know what the heck I'm talking about. So I'm going to give you five American words that people would look at you skew with if you used them in England.
All right.
And see if you can get the English version of them, okay?
All right. Uh-huh.
The first one is muffler. These are all transport-related, I should say.
Muffler.
The first one is muffler.
Right.
The second one is a sedan, as in a type of car, a sedan.
Coupe.
The third one is a divided highway. The fourth one is a trunk.
Okay.
And so the fifth one is a station wagon. So I've given you a couple of easy ones.
Yeah. Those are right. All right, so...
Okay, so it's a trunk bonnet?
Close.
No.
Boot.
Wrong end.
Boot.
Boot. Okay.
Yeah.
And a station wagon is an estate car? Is that? Do I have that right?
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Very good.
What
very
about,
good.
Is the muffler scarf?
No, it's on the...
No, these are all
car mufflers.
Oh, they're all
so
car mufflers.
Muffler
okay.
is a transport related.
Muffler. Something that muffler. Silences.
Don't know.
No.
And you said coupe for sedan.
Did I say coupe?
You
or
said
coupe.
It,
or?
You did, but coupe is not right.
It's not right.
Okay.
And a divided highway.
Yeah.
Divided highway.
Yeah. Don't know.
No. You better fill in the blanks first. We're almost out of time.
Okay. A divided highway is a dual carriageway.
Oh, carriageway. That's good.
A sedan is a saloon car.
Oh, okay.
Huh. Car. And a muffler is a silencer.
Silencer. You kind of almost said that.
Almost there. So I got a few more of these. I'll be calling back with a few more of these.
All right. Excellent.
Brush
Thank you very much.
On your English, okay?
Very well.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Good
thing. All right. One more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Sandy and Ron in Berkeley.
Hi, Sandy. Hi, Ron.
Our guesses for the best picture, Ron came up with Meet Me in St. Louis.
Well, that wasn't best picture.
And I came up with The Philadelphia Story.
And that wasn't best picture either.
It was not. Neither one.
Neither one.
No, they were both nominated, ones, yeah. I think, but,
yeah.
but no.
Good ones.
Darn. Well, then I guess we're boogered. Although I will say with the Oxford... dictionary, I am reminded of the joke that there are two words you should never use. One is swell and one is lousy.
Oh.
What are they?
Thanks so much.
Thank you
Bye-bye.
Very much. All right.
Someone had to give the punchline.
Time to clean up here, Pauline.
Okay, so the food that traces its name from the Arabic word for finger is banana. The other two quotes, the fundamental cause of trouble is Bertrand Russell, and then the problem with the world is that the intelligent people are full of doubts, et cetera, is Charles Bukowski. And I'm not going to give all the names in the song. I will say the one that we would rather not name is Jared from Subway.
Oh.
Okay.
And wait, no, there's one more that we didn't get from you. It was the character with the four different names.
Oh, yeah, right.
Cinderella.
Oh, okay.
Oh, all right, okay.
The election nobody got was Martin Van Buren and William Henry Harrison in the 36 and 1840.
Hmm.
Ron Woodruff was Matthew McConaughey in Dallas Buyers Club. Alonzo Harris was Denzel Washington in Training Day.
All right. The five most common adjectives, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, good, new, first, last, long. The survey done by The Atlantic magazine, the five famous novels that people are least likely to finish, Catch-22, Lord of the Rings, Ulysses, Moby Dick, and Atlas Shrugged. The best picture winner that mentioned place names in the U.S., Broadway Melody, Cimarron, West Side Story, Chicago, and I put in On the Waterfront just in case.
Oh.
The birthday that nobody got, the least common birthday of the year, December 25th, Christmas Day. And what very famous author was the first to mention baseball in a literary form? Jane Austen in Northanger Abbey
come on.
In 1798. Yes. If we didn't get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight was teacher and photographer Pauline Teichman from the San Francisco Chronicle, Joshua Cosman. Thank you, Joshua. And I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. My thanks to David Latulip and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And, of course, my thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Sunday. Take care. Bye-bye.